The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, still to come this hour. Raheem Palmer joins us. Talk a little Errol Spence Jr., Terrence Crawford. Got my bets in. We had Teddy Atlas yesterday. Looking forward to talking to Raheem about that. Are you betting it, Kelly?
Yeah. I'm going to bet it. I'm going to watch it. Big fight weekend. About to talk UFC here, too. But, man, you know what's most interesting to me is that they're going head-to-head, UFC and boxing this week, right? Like, yeah. What was going on last Saturday night? Could have had a fight then.
I'm thinking boxing promotion is not paying attention to that, is my guess, for a fight of this magnitude.
I kind of think both of them don't care about the other one.
That's probably
days.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, UFC is doing stuff weekly. I don't think they're really caring too much what boxing's doing.
Yeah. This ain't boxing from our childhood, man. Nope. But this is about as close as it gets recently, and we'll talk to Raheem about that later. But let's talk UFC 291, which headlines with the fight for the mythical bet. Are you familiar with the mythical BMF belt here, Kelly?
Yes, you know what I am, yeah.
My extensive research tells me that's something I'm not allowed to talk about on air. Jordan Sherwood joins us now to discuss UFC 291. Poirier and Gaethje, looking forward to this. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I mean, first off, yeah, Dana White's not going to move any event to help fans watch both a UFC and a boxing event. But quite literally, you'll probably see Dana White watching the boxing fight while the UFC fight is going on. So that is certainly something to consider. And yeah, it is a big fight night. It's a big fight weekend, but that BMF title, it's mythical. I don't care about it. But we do have a very, very important fight in the lightweight division between two former title challengers and Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje.
Yeah. Who fought before, and Poirier ends up winning it and does so fourth round. What is different? What makes this fight? Why is this going to be any different than that one from several years ago?
I think maybe the only argument you can make is the familiarity that there's three of them. The familiarity, obviously, that they have with each other going four rounds the first time go around. The second thing is that, you know, this fight will be at altitude. It's in Utah. So you have to take that into consideration. All the fighters do when they're preparing for a fight and a five round fight like this. And third is that, look, you've got a new champion in the lightweight division, and both guys have not fought Islam Makhachev. So, you know, both guys losing to Khabib Nurmagomedov when he was the champion, if they make a statement, if they look impressive, you know, they could make an argument that they should be next for the 155-pound winner between Makhachev and Charles Oliveira, which takes place later on this year.
So from a betting perspective, Poirier minus 145, Gaethje is plus 125 coming back, both 34 years of age. Most casual UFC observers remember Poirier from taking out Conor McGregor. Where's the bet here?
Yeah, I think the bet is in Dustin Poirier. You know, again, skill for skill, how they're going to match up. He's just a bad matchup for Justin Gaethje. Dustin Poirier is well-versed on the ground if it had to go there with submissions, but this fight's going to be contested standing. He's got the better cardio. He's got the better boxing. And I think Justin Gaethje, you know, both of them have been in too many wars, but probably Justin Gaethje, you know, far more just because of his fighting style. So I think the play is absolutely Dustin Poirier to win the fight. I love him on the money line. The value you're getting there because of, again, the ways that he could win. But I think you also have to pay attention to the over at 2.5. I think there's going to be a feeling out process between the two. Neither fighter wanting to make a mistake, but both guys are finishers. So I don't believe this will see the judges' scorecards, but I do believe it will go into the later rounds, the championship rounds, like it did the first time that they met.
Couple Pereiras also on the main card at UFC 291. By the way, we're talking to Jordan Sherwood from the Unnamed MMA podcast, co-host there, Wood on ESPN 1000 on Twitter. Jan Blachowicz against Alex Pereira, who, when we last saw him, Israel Adesanya was dispatching him, if you will. How do you stand on this? We're showing a coin flip at this point between these two.
Yeah, it's a coin flip, and I think there's obviously uncertainty with how Alex Pereira is going to look at 205, making the jump 20 pounds from middleweight to light heavyweight. He was always an enormous 185-er. He cut a ton of weight to make that middleweight limit. Is his power going to carry over to 205? A lot of people believe so, but I think what you have to look at if you're going to, you know, bet this fight is – How did Jan Blachowicz perform against Israel Adesanya when he made the jump to 205? And he was successful. He made the fight a wrestling match. He took, you know, Israel Adesanya to the ground, controlled him. And I think he could do the same against Alex Pereira. Pereira is not a wrestler. He's a kickboxer that has had some good takedown defense, but really hasn't been in there with a guy that's going to take him down like Jan Blachowicz likely will. And also, Jan Blachowicz does have a ton of power. He doesn't have a lot of knockouts to his credit, but he does have a ton of power. So I think Jan Blachowicz is probably going to be my play in this fight. It's a three-round fight. It's not a championship five-round fight. And I think Jan Blachowicz, again, his familiarity with middleweight jumping up, the fact that Pereira struggles with wrestlers or doesn't have as great takedown defense, and there's an uncertainty about his power being able to carry over, knocking out a guy the size of Jan Blachowicz, who has only been knocked out, I think, once, and that was against Thiago Santos a few years ago. I like Jan Blachowicz straight up on the money line to win the fight.
Okay, so far Poirier over in the Poirier fight, and then Blachowicz here. Let me ask you about one more, and then I'll let you go to others that you see value in. But sure. Just anecdotally here, Jordan, the Wonderboy Thompson-Michael Pereira welterweight fight is the one where I've sort of heard the most difference in opinion on. Where do you stand here?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with how it's been bet. Pereira opened up as a big-time underdog. He's still an underdog, but the money has come in on him. I just think there's questions about Stephen Wonderboy Thompson being able to do what he does now at 40 years of age. You know, obviously an outstanding kickboxer. Pereira is a great striker, an unorthodox striker, and an enormous welterweight. He does have some wrestling, and albeit that Stephen Wonderboy Thompson has been known for his takedown defense, it has, you know, not as been strong since he's got older. So I think there's certainly value in Pereira as the underdog, just because stylistically they match up very well, and Pereira is still extremely young, powerful, unorthodox, and can rely on that wrestling and that Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I guess the one argument against it is that, again, going in altitude. Pereira is a guy in his previous fights, has been lately, but previously has struggled with cardio. He cuts a ton of weight to make the welterweight limit, so you have to pay attention to that. But I think there is extreme value in this Pereira to get the upset over Wonderboy Thompson as part of one of the featured fights on the card.
Yeah, this is, and I think you agree with this, this is deemed a pretty solid card top to bottom here. What else do you like?
Yeah, I'm paying a particular attention actually to Darius Flowers. He's taking a fight on short notice against Jake Matthews, a guy that's been in the welterweight division for quite some time. Very well-rounded, but Darius Flowers, from what we've seen on film, obviously he's making his UFC debut, so there's going to be some octagon jitters there, but he carries a ton of power, has got some wrestling, and Jake Matthews has been stopped in a couple of previous fights, so I might take a flyer, if you will, on Flowers, flyer and flowers, however you want to say it, because, again, he might surprise a ton of people. And then I will say also that the fight right after that, Roman Kapilov, I think, against Claudio Ribeiro, just has him beat everywhere. He's a pretty big favorite in the middleweight fight, so probably stuff him into one of your parlays.
Flyer on Flowers, Kelly. You're not going to forget that one. Flyer on Flowers. You a Bears fan?
Can you tell?
I'm going to say.
What's gonna going say. On? Yeah. Yeah, I've been watching that video of Justin Fields and DJ Moore from two days ago. Viral.
And Justin Fields saying he doesn't want to appear on Quarterback, the docuseries that debuted season one this year on Netflix. He doesn't want to be in season two. Let me ask you about the Bears in the NFC North, if you have an opinion on that. Where do you stand on them in that division this year?
I think that they're probably going to fall into that second place team, maybe that third place team. I still think there's a lot of holes, particularly on defense. You can't get much worse than three wins. I think they'll dramatically improve. Fringe playoff team, but I think it, you know, we're going to be shocked and say that the Detroit Lions are the class of the NFC North. As difficult as it is for to say, I think they're 1 year away from actually surprising a lot of people.
All right, all the bets that you gave us in UFC 291, and I assume, correct me if I'm wrong, that we got all of them. If not, let us know. What is the one that, if you only could make one of them, which is the one you're making?
I just think it's the comfort in Dustin Poirier. I mean, he's one of the best we've ever seen. He's 9-2 in his last 11, only losing championship fights. And I just think that he's got Justin Gaethje's number. And Justin Gaethje, time after time, has said, hey, I'm going to change up my game plan. I'm going to go out and wrestle. I'm going to be smart. He gets into a firefight. He's seen his mirror image. There's a reason it's Dustin and Justin. I mean, they're same age, same losses to the same guys, same number of time in the octagon. Like, it's so weird. Dustin Poirier, I think, just has his number, and that's the fight that I'm most comfortable in.
And I'm just curious about this because I loved boxing as a kid. You're old enough to remember the heyday of boxing as well. Do you care?
Yeah,
do you care about it?
No, I've fallen off. I think it's lost its luster, and all this other stuff with Jake Paul kind of, you know, inching in. Francis Ngannou versus Tyson Fury. Who knows what that's going to happen? So yeah, I'll be watching too. I miss the days. I miss the days of Tyson, you know, fighting in the heavyweight fights or the Evander Holyfields. That's my era. I'm 42, so that's what I remember. But this fight card, if you're going to tune into a UFC fight card without a title fight, this is one to watch. It's going to be an outstanding card top to bottom.
All right. A vote for UFC from Jordan Sherwood. I could have expected that. How you doing, Jordan? I appreciate that. It's like, you like boxing at all? He's like, no, not really. I'm pumped. I'm absolutely pumped for it. I'll be flipping back and forth. Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it, man.
All right, Gil. Thanks, Seth.
Jordan Sherwood, everybody. At on Twitter, that is. You can follow him on ESPN, or I should say ESPN Wood on ESPN 1000. He's always switching around his Twitter. Have you noticed that through the years?
Yeah, he's had to change a couple times.
Wood on ESPN 1000. Where are you on this, Kelly? You UFC on Saturday?
I'll tell you what, that I hadn't really looked at these numbers. That Jan Blachowicz number did surprise me to see it was that short. I'm probably joining Jordan on that.
It got shorter, yeah, for sure. Irresponsible betting Saturday.
That's right.
Coming up.
Oh, gosh. This Saturday? It's like the perfect one. Are you kidding me?
All we need is a horse race in the middle of the day. It'll complete the whole thing. Thankfully, nothing to point to there. We'll come back. We'll talk AFC West next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? Drive too fast and you can hear the sound of your vehicle crashing, because one way or another, speeding catches up with you. It's paid for by NHTSA. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate all the feedback. If you're funny, we'll read them all. GV at New Jersey, New York. Regarding the MLB postseason picture, fascinating thing about this is that you have so many teams who consider themselves contenders that it creates a seller's market. Also, interesting how the Orioles sold at the deadline last year and are now set up for a run a la the Mariners last year. Yeah, absolutely. And some teams do the thing where they sort of sell and buy creatively. So we'll see. We'll see if there's a splash coming. Somebody's going to grab Marcus Stroman. But it will be a more tame deadline than in past years, one would think. This is from JW at One Man Wolfpack. He says, nice work on the cloud of smoke imaging. Maybe we can get something similar when giving out sushi recommendations next week, at least once a day. Peter Watchery, watching the Jason Weingarten segment, and every baseball game moved offshore. Everyone watches Gil, he says. Jason has that power. Let's see, Kariba Capital. Am I reading that right? Corey Seager batting .350. Only way Ohtani wins the Triple Crown is if Seager stays hurt and doesn't qualify. Hey, man, Seager getting hurt is like a normal thing. For those of us who have had Seager MVP bets in the past, Seager most home runs bets in the past, we've had so many Corey Seager bets on this show, and they never get there because of injury. But hopefully for the Rangers, he does get back, because he has been no player has benefited more from the shift being banned than Corey Seager has. Because just a great hitter no matter, but without the shift, even that much better. What are you smiling about? What's going on back there?
A couple different things.
Okay, what's going on?
I don't know. I still have the thought in my head of just like the PTI rundown having, should Ohtani still win MVP?
Yeah,
that
right.
And then I'm looking through your soul at some F1 race. Oh. Where it's like pouring rain and they're still racing. I didn't know they did that.
Drive safely. Yeah.
Yeah, like it is. Like every turn they make, it's this huge wave of water that's coming up.
So this week, whenever something in the NFL went down, Kelly and I used it as a excuse to talk about the division which that whatever went down in existed. And yesterday at the end of our show, I don't know if you were with us at the end of the crack hour yesterday, but Sean Payton just went crazy talking about Nathaniel Hackett's previous administration with the Denver Broncos, calling it one of the worst coaching performances, what he called the worst coaching performance he's ever seen, which is just completely off the rails when it comes to, no coach says that about the previous administration. Now, you can justify it by saying, well, he's got Russell Wilson's back, and some Broncos fans even tweeted me, I actually like it because they were so bad. But man, nobody does that. I don't know what the ups, what the true upside is for doing that. So we used it as a reason to just talk some AFC West today and look at those odds.
But even all those reasons, real quick, like, it's still really weird to me.
Still weird. Still weird.
Especially coming from Sean Payton. I don't know. I don't know why, but especially him, it kind of surprises me more. Just because, like, he's got one of those stories of, like, worked his way up through every
route. He was a replacement player.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, I mean, he was an OC that got fired at one point and all that stuff. Like, man, I don't know.
He was the coach when the Saints had all those infractions, right? So, yeah.
Like, it's a tough business. It's a tough business without people that you work with going after you already, you know?
Imagine if you're Nathaniel Hackett hearing that yesterday. You're like, what the? Dude, don't we have a fraternity here of some kind?
Right.
That was crazy.
And then I don't know what, like, Saleh's response was, like, I don't know. I don't know what he was supposed to say. I kept trying to think what I would be saying, actually, if I was in his shoes.
Sean Payton said, whatever he did, we're doing the opposite.
Right. Right.
I mean, come on. My name is George, you know. Chiefs 11.5, their season win total. They're the favorite, -165. Super Bowl champions. I don't know if you heard that, Kelly. Chiefs are Super Bowl champions. Chargers 9.5, as always, in second, it feels like, in this division now. +340 to win the division. And may I just say, for all bettors who have ever bet anything on the Chargers, because I'm right there with you, having done so last year. I resisted all those years and then finally caved last year. I'm like, this is the year. Justin Herbert MVP. Chargers going to win the division. Nope.
You guys were all wrong. It's this year.
It's this year. They've got so much talent.
They're stacked.
Broncos 8.5. We're talking about Sean Payton and the Broncos. +550 to win the division. And then the Raiders. Josh Jacobs and the Raiders. Not seeing eye to eye. 6.5 their season win total. 12-1 are the Raiders to win the division. Chiefs, last 7 years they've won this division. Is that good? Is that pretty good? Trying to become the first repeat Super Bowl winner since the Patriots in 2003, 2004. They're favorites in all 17 of their games, Kelly, the Chiefs.
Yep, as they should be.
And as, you know, they do have bad rest when you aggregate their rest from game to game versus their opponents. But on the other hand, you know, they get Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow all in Kansas City in November, December. By the way, Joe Burrow yesterday, it looks like it's going to be an okay calf injury, like not a major injury, that viral video that was going around from camp. Side note. But they get Burrow, Allen, and Hurts all in Kansas City. Mahomes, 27-3 straight up versus the other opponents in this division. Versus all three opponents in this division. 27-3, 11-0 against the Broncos, 9-1 against the Raiders, 7-2 against the Chargers. And, again, 29.2 points per game last year. Mahomes led the league in passing yards, passing touchdowns. And then, you know, what have been their records, the Chiefs' records through the years with Mahomes? 12-4, 12-4, 14-2, 12-5, 14-3. Oh, my God. How great is it to be a Chiefs fan?
I mean, he's the greatest separator in this division still.
Yes.
I think if you just do basic, like, let me look at the depth charts of these teams. Like, the Chargers team seems on paper to be so much better, but the Patrick Mahomes effect kicks in. It's just incredible.
You have summed it up, I think, as well as we could, because that really is the thing. You look up, so they add Quentin Johnston, talking about the Chargers now. They add Quentin Johnston, Rashawn Slater, Zion Johnson, center Corey Linsley on the line. Those three guys anchor that line. Joey Bosa and J.C. Jackson, remember, they each only played 5 games on defense last year, so they are healthy. Bosa and Khalil Mack only played a handful of games together. Like, right. It never came together. Mack totaled 8 sacks. Bosa only had 2.5 with the games. They have so many players, including, of course, the re-signed Justin Herbert, who's just this side of Patrick Mahomes, the maybe the greatest currently in the league. And yet, like, cases against the Chiefs, like, I get it if you want to make one, but I'm not making that bet anymore.
See, here's the problem with both these teams. When we talk about both these teams, I stand by everything I just said with the Patrick Mahomes being the greatest separator between these two, but that's what you just laid out from last year. Okay, you can make some excuses for the Chargers of why their defensive numbers were bad, right? And I know Mike Williams, Keenan Allen were kind of in and out of the lineup, but they were still just a middle-of-the-road offense.
Well, that was a lot of people blaming Joe Lombardi, their offensive coordinator. Now it's Kellen Moore.
Now it's Kellen Moore. So how much of the, how much change is that going to, you know, how much is that going to affect things? You would hope at least a bit, because they got to be better than that on offense. And, you know, to give the Chiefs credit, go look at what they ended the season defensively over, you know, whether you're DVOA or PFF or anything. They were basically a top five, top ten defense that we really, you know, we didn't really talk about all that much. So we always focus on the quarterbacks, but I think that's stuff we got to keep in mind.
But you said it yesterday. It's like, and who does Patrick Mahomes have to throw to besides Travis Kelce? Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Yeah, we could sit here for 10 minutes listing off the concerns I have for the Chiefs, but they overcome them every year.
Okay.
I mean, we got the Chris Jones holdout, right? Yeah. Like, that could be a situation. The wide receivers, that could be a problem.
Okay, do you buy, and let's get to the Broncos because we have limited time here. Let's get to the Broncos because I think people would agree Chiefs first, Chargers second. And maybe you think the Chargers can overcome this year. It's absolutely plausible. I'm just not going to do it, betting wise. But the Broncos, 5-12 last season. Sean Payton, for all his arrogance yesterday, his offense has scored more than 25 points per game 12 times in 15 years. Never averaged fewer than 21 points. That courtesy of Matt Eumanns from VSiN.com doing his AFC West preview. And now you have Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick, Courtland Sutton finally being able to play together as a quartet. You know, out of 50 total games that those four could have played together, guess how many they've all played? Two out of 50. So do you buy into the fact, and the defense is good, right? Defense is good all across the board. No one doubts that.
Great defense.
With Patrick Surtain and Justin Simmons anchoring that secondary. Do you give them a shot here to make any noise? I mean, would you bet them to make the playoffs plus 180? Would you bet them over on the win total, or are you not a buyer?
I love Russell Wilson. I just want to say that first. Me and you made a big deal of that last year. Like, that was shocking. It was hard to watch for me as someone who's always been a Russell Wilson fan. I think they're going to be better this year, Gil. I am not in that camp, though, of thinking this is a team that is going to challenge for winning the AFC or this division or anything like that. I mean, there are some people that are very high on this team this year.
What's the best bet in this division?
Raiders to have the worst record in the NFL. Fewest wins.
In the NFL?
I already bet it.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah. This is a brutal division. I think the Broncos will be better. I think the Raiders, Jimmy G has to play great.
Yeah.
And I think that's asking too much of him.
PFF has them ranked 25th in the league. What number did you get on that worst record?
25-1, I think.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. Coming back, Raheem Palmer on Crawford Spence. Can't wait. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. It's the final week to sign up now for only $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Big fight weekend. Crawford, Spence Jr. Cannot wait for this. My bets are in. I got a bet on the under, 10.5, taking a lot of bang for my buck on that, over $2 plus 229 on that. And I am leaning in and betting Terrence Crawford in this unified welterweight title bout, the fight of the year. And to help us navigate through the bets, we bring in Raheem Palmer, who joins us, co-host of the East Coast Bias show on the Ringler Gambling Network. How you doing, Raheem? Good to see you.
I'm good. Life is good. I can't complain. We got a big fight coming up this week, and I'm super excited. You know, this year we've been getting all the big fights, so it's great to finally see it happen.
You are a big boxing guy. Were you always that?
Yeah, I just always was. I just always loved boxing. I mean, I'm mostly known for my NBA, but boxing is just something I grew up on. I've always loved. So it's always great to go out to Vegas and see the big fights. So I love it.
All right. Before we get to the boxing, then, since you mentioned the NBA, have you made any season long bets in the NBA? Where do you stand on Dame Lillard? What are your thoughts there?
I haven't made any season-long bets already, but I'm looking at the Toronto Raptors under. I think they're going to be, like, they're going to be horrible. So I'm looking at their under. I'm also kind of looking to take the Memphis Grizzlies over. That stands out to me. And then I also like the Cleveland Cavaliers over. I look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. They've added a ton of shooting. So those three teams are on my list right now.
All right. We were throwing up on a side screen here. Where will Damian Lillard play next season? And the Heat are the big favorite now at minus 250. Blazers 4-1 are the second shot here for him to just stay in Portland. What is your instinct? Does he start the season in Portland and then get traded later at this point?
I think he's going to Miami. I think they're going to get a deal done. I just think they have to get other teams involved because right now, the Portland Trailblazers, they don't want Tyler Hero. I mean, they're at the point where he's kind of hamstrung in them at this point because he only wants to go to Miami. So I think they're going to honor his wishes. It's unfortunate because we're at a point now where the star players, they just have so much power. And I think he's going to exercise it. I think he's going to Miami.
All right, let's talk some boxing. T-Mobile Arena tomorrow night, a fight that has been anticipated for many years. Errol Spence Jr., Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford, the favorite, minus 150 for the unified, undisputed welterweight title of the world. I was mentioning yesterday with Teddy Atlas, this really, you know, gives great memories to those of us who have followed boxing for so many years in the welterweight division. This was Hearns Leonard 1 to unify the welterweight title, Trinidad De La Hoya, Pacquiao Mayweather, and now this. What about the side? What are your instincts telling you about two undefeated fighters?
Okay, so we're at minus 150 right now. I think you saw some sharp money come in on Terrence Crawford early, but the numbers got bet down. Me personally, I want to stay away from the side just because I think this is a really close fight. When I look at these two fighters, you look at Errol Spence, he's typically the busier fighter. He's typically throwing like 70 punches a round while you have Terrence Crawford who's throwing around 30 punches a round. And he's a guy who's a notorious slow starter. So I think he's the more talented fighter, but you got to remember he's coming into this fight and Errol Spence is the bigger fighter. Now, Terrence Crawford has stopped all seven of the guys that he's faced at welterweight, but I think Errol Spence has fought the tougher competition at welterweight. So this is a really tough fight for me. I think Terrence Crawford has the ability to make adjustments. One of the things that stands out to me is that when you look at their fight against Porter, Crawford knocked out Porter, but I think the big thing that he did in that fight was that he was able to limit Porter's output. Porter threw 744 punches against Errol Spence, and against Crawford, he threw just 347. So I don't think Spence is going to be as busy this fight as most people expect. So I'm staying away from the side. I know Crawford has the ability to make adjustments, but Spence is the type of guy who, if he gets off to a fast start, he can win a decision.
Yeah, and Sean Porter, as I've mentioned before here on the show, he has said, after having fought both, and as you said, split decision against Errol Spence Jr., knocked out by Terrence Crawford or stopped by Terrence Crawford, that if he had to make a bet, and it wasn't easy for him, but he said if he did in the end, it's Terrence Crawford for him, echoing sort of what you're saying. So if not the side then, Raheem, what's the bet for you?
The bet is to go the distance minus 210. I think that's up to minus 220. Like I said before, I think Terrence Crawford is going to limit Errol Spence's output. But at the same time, when you look at Terrence Crawford, he has the ability to make adjustments. I think that's going to happen. I think this is going to be a high-level chess match. I think like you're looking at almost like a Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather type fight. I don't see either of these guys getting knocked out. And you look at Errol Spence's fight against Danny Garcia. He didn't stop Danny Garcia. I can't reasonably expect, like, to me, that's the floor for Terrence Crawford, is I expect him to do as well as Danny Garcia. Now, I know Styles makes fights, but I just don't see either one of these guys getting stopped. So I have to disagree with your underplay. I think you go over, but I think you can get the fight to go to distance at minus 210.
So let's go down the boxing betting conspiracy rabbit hole here for a second, because I was saying how last, you know, Triple G Canelo, when I, you know, I bet Triple G was convinced he won. I think this was the second fight between them, if I'm not mistaken. And I vowed, I was like, I'm never.
Must have been the first fight.
Or it was the first. I want to say it was the second, though. At first fight, I thought Triple G certainly won also. But I also was convinced he won the second fight. But either way, I came out of there, I'm like, I'm not betting this anymore. It goes to the scorecards. Who knows what the politics are behind this? And yeah, I mean, if you've bet boxing, you've been burned by boxing at some point. What to the theory? And I know there is a clause in the contract that says there's a rematch here triggered before the end of the season, before the end of the calendar year. But what's the outcome? If we were to go down that rabbit hole, what's the outcome that generates the most interest in fight number two? Let's ask it that way.
I think it's a close decision. Like, I think that's the one that's going to generate another more impact for the next one. Just because if somebody gets stopped, then I think you're going to look back at both of these guys and say, oh, this guy didn't fight anybody. And nobody's going to want to see the second fight. So if you see somebody get stopped, then it kind of kills the excitement. Like, look at the fight we had the other day with Inoue versus Fulton. I mean, this was supposed to be a big fight, and Inoue absolutely dominated him. So I think you're looking at a close decision if you really want to see this rematch clause get exercised.
I don't know that you do, but we're showing the other fights on the card. Do you have any plays on any of those beneath the main
event? I don't.
I
actually don't. I'm mostly playing the big one. I know they added the Nonito Donaire fight to the card, but I don't have anything on that.
All right. So now that Crawford Spence Jr. is finally happening to whatever result tomorrow night, what's the fight out there now, Raheem, which is the most anticipated? Because this, obviously, you know, we wanted to make this for years, and it's finally happening. Obviously, Spence Jr. got in a car accident, delayed his career to some extent, and we've seen him fight since a couple times, but we finally have gotten here. And thankfully, it's not like waiting 5 years for Pacquiao and Mayweather, 5 years beyond when it should have happened. What's the matchup at whatever weight class that's the one that boxing fans anticipate the most now?
I think it's by far in the lightweight division. You go to Gervonta Tank Davis versus Shakur Stevenson. I mean, that division is absolutely stacked. Obviously, you had Devin Haney. He's the undisputed lightweight champion of the world. He's probably going to vacate that and go to 140. But in that 135 division, it's just so many guys in that division. I think the top two that people want to see is Gervonta Tank Davis and Shakur Stevenson.
Okay. Raheem, always a pleasure. Let me exit with this one. What's the script of the fight tomorrow that would shock you the most? An early knockout by one or the other? Like, is that the thing that you'd be like, happened?
That would absolutely shock me. If Terrence Crawford got off to a fast start and stopped Spence, that would, like, stun me. And, like, I just don't see that happening, just because I think both guys have such huge respects for each other's skills. And the fact that we know Terrence Crawford is a notorious slow starter, and then Spence is the bigger guy, if he stopped him inside of like six rounds, I'd be absolutely stunned.
Raheem Palmer, everybody. Good to see you, Raheem.
Good to see you, too.
Enjoy the fight. You can follow him at I Am Rostradamus. How about that? Rostradamus on Twitter. Check that out. Again, the podcast is the East Coast Bias podcast on the Ringler Gambling Show. Spence Crawford tomorrow night, which, again, the fight of the year. And for those of us who loved boxing, like, this is super exciting to get into this. And for those who are in Vegas this weekend, because we touched on this yesterday, we should probably mention this again, do not assume that this is being shown at sportsbooks. In fact, it is not, generally speaking. You kind of have to, if you're in a casino, you kind of have to find these bars that exist either within the casino or then, I guess, on the strip, some might have it too. But that's kind of... Or obviously you can, you know, if you're at your residence, that's a different story. But if you're just visiting Vegas, your options are kind of limited.
Oh, I think it's pretty much like everywhere else around the country. Call ahead of time. Double check that they're going to be showing it before you go anywhere.
I would be in LA. I'm doing that. Because I'm like, I'm not going to be at home where I could just buy it. I got to figure that out as well. But my whole weekend sort of revolves around it. Cannot wait for this. 35-year-old Terrence Crawford, 33-year-old Errol Spence Jr. for the undisputed welterweight crown. Both undefeated. Something's got to give. Kelly and I wrapping it up with our best bets of the weekend. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Don't forget the king of sportsbooks unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action. action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. The best listeners in the world, and I mean that, tapped in, tuned in, witty, concise, insightful, acerbic, all of the above. I can go. I'm just going to do adjectives for the next 10 minutes. Buddhist man, welcome to Irresponsible Betting Saturday. All we need is a horse race in the middle of the day. Quoting earlier, Elvis Toast Patterson fan says, Gilly, DraftKings is sponsoring the Jim Dandy Stakes at Saratoga tomorrow. There's your horse race. Great show today.
Boom. There we go.
Thank you, Elvis Toast Got Patterson. It. Great show today. Got better than the Koala Bear show from earlier this week.
I think he would agree. We finally got to boxing.
Yes.
He's been calling for it for like 3 weeks.
He has been. Yeah. He has been monitoring. He's like, when are you going to talk Crawford Spence? Logic 3227. Last night, I bet Miles Michaelis. Oh, this is something. Last night, I bet Miles Michaelis to give up over 5.5 hits. He gets tossed in the first inning for intentionally hitting the batter. Broadcast said it's the first time a St. Louis pitcher has been tossed in the first since 1907. Yeah. So he goes, so I literally lost a bet on something that hasn't happened since before Prohibition. For those who missed it yesterday, the Cubs played the Cardinals, which Cubs and Cardinals fans like to call like the greatest rivalry in sports. It's baseball. Let's everybody relax. Red Sox Yankees.
I would have the same response, but oh man, if you say something like that around like Cardinals fans, boy.
They're big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cubs end up winning that game 10-3, by the way, yesterday. Cubs on a nice little roll here heading into the trade deadline. That might affect things. I don't think it will, but I don't know. You keep winning, it's got to affect something. So first inning yesterday, what Logic's talking about here on Twitter is first inning. The Cubs are at the plate.
I didn't see this.
And Ian Happ, you know how sometimes like your backswing hits the catcher in the head once in a blue moon? So his backswing, Ian Happ, he swings and misses, I believe. Don't hold me to that. But his backswing hits Wilson Contreras in the head, the Cubs catcher. And so Wilson Contreras, you know, gets dinged by it. And two pitches later, it actually forced him out of the game. Like it was enough to cause concern. And they're like, okay, you got to go. Two pitches later, first of all, the first pitch after that, Miles Michaelis throws it inside. It's almost like he was trying to plunk him but couldn't quite do it. And then the pitch right after that, he hits him in the hip. And the umps toss Michaelis, which, honestly, he deserved. Like, are we really beating a dude for accidentally having his backswing hit the catcher in the head? This is so stupid, dude.
This is where it's tough because I didn't see it. So like, was it obvious he was throwing at him?
Oh, 100%.
Then like, yeah, I don't think there's a difference between. I mean, what are we? He's supposed to retaliate the next time he's up at bat. That's okay in the baseball rules.
Bro, it's a backswing. Do you think it's gonna happen the first inning of a game is trying to hit the? Come on,
no.
It's so dumb. So dumb. The
that is a tough way to lose a bet, though. Because going back to the bet part of it, yes, don't get me wrong.
Yes, Logic, we do sympathize with you.
And Logic, I'm also going to probably borrow the, I'm trying to decide where I cut off my baseball stats before cars were invented. Prohibition might be the better start.
Prohibition.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start using that.
He went with Prohibition.
Yeah.
He was debating between Prohibition and the assassination of the Archduke Ferdinand. Sorry. Steven Vegas. If every single person in media, handicapping, etc., says this is a fight that could go either way, yet they all pick Bud Crawford, is there maybe some good value on the A-side Spence? Oh, you faked me out there. I thought you were going to say, well, then there must be value on Crawford. You're going with Spence. He says, I like the plus money on Spence. Let's just hope it doesn't end in a fiasco. Yes, that applies to every fight ever. Please don't end a fiasco.
I'm hoping it. I don't want to root against Raheem's bet, but I'm hoping it doesn't go to the cards just because that feels like that happens every time it does.
I'm hoping, exactly. I'm hoping I win that under bet plus 229 under 10.5. And Stringfellow Hawk, huge boxing fan, loved the interview with Teddy Atlas yesterday. Take Crawford to win between rounds 7 and 12 at plus 350. No on the distance at plus 180, and take the draw at 14-1. How about that? He's got three bets he likes to make. I would love for at least one of those to hit.
The 7 through 12 one's interesting because that does
–
that tracks with – my first reaction to that is, well, just bet by KO, TKO, DQ at a slightly worse price. But if you think like Raheem thought that there is no chance this is ended before like the sixth round, well, then you're right in that window he just gave out.
Yeah, I'm with Teddy. I'm going to take a flyer on the under because the under 10.5 at plus 2, and again, it's north of $2 still in some spots. Shop around for this. That's for a guy like Crawford who figures things out on the fly and does have punching power, and then Errol Spence does too. Like, I'm willing to take that money. It's, again, one of these things where we've said on this show for years, some bets you have to be prepared to lose, but just know that they're, you know, good bets by the number. So that's one I'm willing to make there, and I am on Crawford. Those are my two favorite bets of the weekend. I do have a tennis bet that has already started, but after two games, 1-1 score between Sigmund and Stefanini on the ladies' side in Warsaw, that has been suspended because of weather. Iga might have to play – well, now it's too late for her to do it, I think. She might have to play two matches today if the weather didn't come into play. She may not get to play one at this point. What is your favorite?
How often does that happen?
Oh, it happens. There are times like deep into the week of a tournament where
which has been several rainouts or whatever.
Where like someone plays a quarterfinal match in the morning, then someone else plays, and then they play a semifinal match at night. Yeah, it gets like that sometimes. Weather's a problem when there's no roof.
I have so many more questions about this.
Tennis is.
I mean, because men don't always play five sets. Sometimes it's only three, but like in a five setter.
They won't make them do that in a slam.
Right. Like you couldn't do that.
Yeah, but like in these tournaments where it's a 250 or a 500 or something, yeah, they got other tournaments the following week, so they got to get the players who are already signed up to play in those tournaments.
It's always a tough call with how they do that with golf too. When you're like, you know, whether it's darkness or weather or whatever, you know, whatever, whether you call it, push it to the next day, and you might run out of runway because there's always a tournament the next week that you got to be done for.
Just know with bets, when it comes to tennis, weather and darkness does not refund your bet. It will continue into the next day. Only withdrawals, and we've talked about that in just the worst circumstances, only withdrawals will trigger either a refund, or if you happen to bet at a shop that requires one set to be done to be graded, that's where it gets a little murkier. How are your golf bets, by the way? Speaking to that, how are your golf bets this weekend at the 3M Open going?
Well, there you go.
That's all I needed.
Lee Hodges, thanks for swooping in. I thought I was chopping first round leader with Decky yesterday, but no.
Lee Hodges, is that what you said?
Oh, Lee Hodges had to swoop in and drop an 8-under on me yesterday, wow. So I lost that bet. Right now we got Streelman 10-under. Griot 9-under. I got a top 20 on him. Poston 8-under. Hodges 8-under. And then you got a big group at 7-under.
Didn't we right walk now out of here and your guy and Matsuyama was doing well?
Oh, yeah. That's where I was getting pumped.
Oh,
He had, when he finished his round, he was solo lead, 7-under. And then he got caught by a couple guys. I thought I was going to chop it three ways. Snedeker put one close on 18.
You have him for the tournament too, though, right?
I have him for the tournament.
Yeah, he's only two back.
Yeah, only two back. I've got Eric Cole too. I guess he's five back, but he's T11 right now at 500 par. I do have a bet on him as well. So actually, golf bet's looking pretty good right now.
And then, of course, the World Cup is going on. You don't have any bets in pocket on that yet, do you?
No, I don't. I do think I'm going to bet Jan Blachowicz, though, in the UFC fight. I was surprised when I saw that number and then Jordan talking about it as well. I do think I'm going to be betting that side tomorrow night.
I'm feeling Blachowicz. I'm feeling Poirier. And, of course, Terrence Crawford as well, as we talked about, and the under in the Terrence Crawford fight.
I think when you talk about the boxing in the UFC, I don't know the boxing as well, but, like, hearing a lot of the – like, both main events are sounding very kind of, like, mirror imaging. Like, these are going to be really tight fights. Like, I want nothing to do with a side in that Poirier-Gaethje fight. Like, I want nothing to do with that.
Yeah, and I make it – it's one of those things, again, we jokingly say irresponsible betting Saturday, just because it's also one of these things where when we're betting other sports typically, football season, the biggest example of this, we almost forget sometimes. Like, oh, there's a UFC card tonight. I forgot we got to bet this. We won't have that problem this weekend, right, because it'll be, you know, baseball and this. So bets will be made, and I think those are the ones I'm going to make at this point. But right now in pocket, the two boxing ones and Sigmund in tennis. We've done all we can do. Hope Kelly's Matsuyama bets get home. Hope all of your bets get home as well. College football week, not only on the show, but on the network next week. We'll start it out with Wes Reynolds on Monday talking Big Ten football. Will it be Michigan? Will it be Ohio State? Will it be someone else? Will it be Wisconsin? Wes always has thoughts, specifically on the Big Ten. We'll do that and more, of course. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.